Welcome back to Retire Right. Retire Right is the podcast for people planning their retirement. Anyone over the age of 50, 55 with retirement on the horizon, or those who've already retired, this is the podcast for you. I'm Martin McGrath, the host of the podcast, a financial advisor at Financial Edge Group. We help people all around Australia get their retirement sorted. On today's episode, we're talking about upcoming changes to superannuation. There's a few things happening and changes coming up, so it's important that people listen in and are aware of those changes. So if you're planning your retirement, if you're salary sacrificing, if you're contributing to super, you need to be aware of these upcoming changes. Today, we're joined by Jesse Field. Jesse's an advisor at Financial Edge Group. Jesse, thanks for joining us. Let's jump into it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Jesse, there's a few things we want to talk about today with some changes coming up. What's the best place to start?
Absolutely, Martin. The superannuation system is constantly changing. Our clients always think that the goalposts are constantly moving, but let's start with maybe superannuation guarantee. So I will explain what the superannuation guarantee. The superannuation guarantee scheme requires all employers to abide by their obligations to pay their employers with superannuation contributions. Currently, your employer should be putting around 11% of your salary to an eligible superannuation fund. This is due to increase from 1 July 2024 to about 11.5%. So we have seen, Martin, over the last few financial years that it has increased in increments of 0.5%, and this will eventually reach 12%. Now, at this stage, there is no intention to increase the super guarantee rate beyond 12%, but as we have just said, the superannuation is constantly changing, so we don't know if that is going to go past 12%, but at the moment, everyone's getting a bit of a pay rise, so from 11% to 11.5% in the new financial year.
And does anyone need to do anything? Do they tell their work, or does their work automatically just adjust that and they'll notice that on their following pay slips?
That's right. So their work will automatically adjust that and they'll find that on their pay slips.
Okay, so that's a little nice bonus or a win for people. And you mentioned there that it has been going up over the last few years. So there's a change coming up in 1 July 2024. And I think you alluded to there's a further change again. When does that kick in?
So 1 July 2025, it'll kick in at the 12% superannuation guarantee rate moving forward.
Perfect. So in round figures we're talking about, and let's say someone's salary is $100,000 and that's plus super, so they'd be expecting their work's going to put in $11,500 into their super fund every year from 1 July this year, and then next year that will go to $12,000.
That's right.
Perfect. So that's a great way for people to continue to build their super fund. It's the employees don't need to do anything with that. That's just going to automatically kick in. It shouldn't mean a pay cut, but your employers might give you less of a pay cut because that's extra 0.5% coming in your way. But generally, it's just on top of whatever salary adjustments happening in that space. So that's kind of that big foundation that's happening. With that in mind, is there anything people need to be aware of, I suppose, as a consequence of that, or anything that they might have, I don't know, have an issue with that adjustment affecting them?
It's a really good question, and really good we are talking about this. While everyone is naturally getting a bit of a pay rise each year and having more funds added into their superannuation fund, we have to continually review our personal circumstances in lockstep with these legislative changes. For instance, if someone is getting a pay rise, naturally, there will be more funds going into their super fund anyway. And something to be conscious of is how much is really being added into your fund each year to ensure you do not breach any of the caps available to you, which is probably a good segue, Martin, into what concessional contributions are.
Perfect. So this is referred to as super guarantee. And I think we maybe merged that with the other change. So there's another change connected to that. So maybe let's explain what counts as a concessional contribution cap, and is that cap at the moment, or what that's going to be changing to?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are generally two main types of contributions, but like you said, Martin, we'll start off with explaining what concessional contributions are, which are essentially contributions that are included in the assessable income of a super fund and contributions that are concessionally taxed at 15%. Currently, the concessional contribution cap is $27,500, but this is due to increase to $30,000 per financial year come 1 July. So the main inclusions of what is included in the concessional contribution cap is your employer super guarantee contributions, which we have just talked about at the start of the podcast, salary sacrifice arrangements that you might already have with your employer, and any additional personal deductible contributions you may be adding above and beyond your super guaranteed contributions to your super fund. There may be some other amounts that are included in the cap as well, such as if you have some employer provided insurance, they may be funding your insurance premiums for you through your superannuation fund. And generally, these may be included in the concessional contribution cap. So something to be aware of.
Perfect. So let's dig into that a little bit, or dive into that. So you mentioned there's two parts there, that this concessional cap's going up to $30,000. So going back to that summary, if someone's on a $100,000 salary, their super guarantee is going to go to $11,500. But the cap is actually going to be $30,000. So that's okay. They're going to be well under that cap. So people can put more than that super guarantee in up to that cap, and that's that salary sacrifice you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. But you need to really consider the concessional contribution caps and be mindful of how much your employer is putting in. For example, there's some clients that might think that they can just salary sacrifice or make personal deductible contributions up to the concessional contribution cap in itself without considering what their employer is putting in and not being conscious of the increases in the super guarantee contribution rates.
Yeah, I think we've had a client like that in the last few years where, as you mentioned there earlier, the super guarantee has been going up by 0.5% a year. This super concessional cap going from 27.5 to 30, that hasn't happened every year. That's only happened more recently. It's only been the last few years that that's changed.
That's right.
And so where someone might have calculated, based upon my super guarantee of 10%, I can salary sacrifice $500 a fortnight. If the super guarantee goes up, they're potentially going to get themselves caught out there if they don't revisit those calculations, from my understanding about how that would work. But perhaps this increase gives them a bit more breathing room with that to review that arrangement. Yes, the super guarantee is going to go up, but because this concessional cap's going up, they may in fact be able to increase their salary sacrifice up to that limit.
Yeah, absolutely. It is important to consider reviewing these amounts, especially in lockstep with the changes to the super guaranteed contribution that are going in. But then also, if you've got any salary sacrifice or if you're putting anything additional in to your super fund, or to have a chat with a professional to ensure you're not going to breach the cap, but more importantly, it fits in with your overall goals and objectives.
Perfect. And I think there's a separate episode talking about all types of contributions and what people should do, but I think it's important that we refresh some of the information now with these changes coming up. So salary sacrifice, concessional contributions are a great way to grow and build your super. Some salary sacrifice can also save on tax. Now, in terms of that, if someone does breach that cap, there is a thing referred to as that carry forward contributions. Can you explain a bit about how that might factor in with these increase and changes?
Absolutely. So although we have discussed that the annual cap is $27,500 as it stands, it's soon to be increased to $30,000 from 1 July 2024. But there may be an opportunity for someone to utilize anything they have not used in these caps from the previous financial years. This is what's called a catch-up or carry-forward contribution, where you can effectively look back 5 financial years and contribute into your super fund and claim a tax deduction on.
Does this $30,000 increase those last 5 years?
No, so you cannot apply the indexation from the previous 5 financial years. Again, this is the importance of having a professional in your corner reviewing your circumstances each year. But as we've discussed, there is constantly changes with the superannuation system. So from the 18-19 financial year, it started at $25,000, the annual cap, and then it slowly increased in increments of $2,500. So that did soon increase to $27,500. And like we're going to see soon, it is going to increase from $27,500 to $30,000. So it's really important to consider not just the annual cap that is changing. If you're delving into previous financial years, exactly what those caps were for that respective financial year.
So it sounds like the government's trying to make that very easy for everybody, tongue in cheek. How would someone find out what those limits have been in the prior years, what they've used or not?
There's a few things before we even get to that point to implement this strategy? I guess your total superannuation balance must come into play. So for you to actually access anything from the five previous financial years and for you to claim a tax deduction on that, your total superannuation balance must be less than $500,000. Now, that's at the end of the financial year. And then also there's a few tests that must be met if you are over the age of 67, which is called the work test or work test exemption. For clients that are curious about what their carry forward might be, you can look at your MyGov. There should be a superannuation section there. Look at the report, or alternatively, you can contact your super provider and get the last few financial years worth of contributions.
And that will show up, do you have the carry forwards, what those contribution limits were for those years. And the report, in fact, if the data is accurate, and there's a little asterisk there, it does say at the top whether you're eligible or not to use those based around your super balances and your limits on that. The only issue, again, just helping for someone to listen, not trying to make things more complicated, is that some people with different reasons have multiple super funds. And this limit, my understanding is it applies to all of their super funds in totality. So if they've got $400,000 in one fund and $300,000 in another, even though neither fund is above $500,000, as an individual, they're above $500,000 overall, that would make them ineligible, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Before we move on from concessional contributions and less of a change coming up on 1 July, but I suppose a consequence of these carry forwards is that these carry forwards only last for 5 years. So what should someone keep an eye on if they're listening to this before the 30th of June 2024? What's something that someone should keep an eye on about that may be a consequence of their current super balances and super strategy?
Great question, Martin. So something important to note, this is the last and final year you can actually dip into the 2018-2019 financial year. And this rule effectively is on a use it or lose it basis. So although that is on a use it or lose it basis, that doesn't mean you cannot implement this strategy in future financial years, because it is on a 5-year rolling basis. But given that there are some personal taxation changes happening soon in lockstep with the superannuation changes, it might mean before the end of this financial year, you should consider making more superannuation contributions concessionally for your super to work harder for you.
And this carry forward rule came in place in that 2019 year. So that's the first time these 5 years are rolling out. So as you mentioned there, that year will drop off. But then in theory, in 2025 or 2026, there'll continue to be a rolling year that's dropped off. So if someone has some unused amounts from 2019, this is the last chance. But as you alluded to, it's the last chance to use that balance, but it's not the last chance to lose the strategy overall.
That's right. So from the next financial year, then the 2019-2020 financial year will open up, and that's the furthest that we can go back to fill that bucket up before moving forward.
Perfect. So there's a few key concessional contribution limits that are changing there. The super guarantee coinciding with that concessional cap going up to 30,000. I believe there's another change as a consequence of that. There's another type of contribution and that cap's changing. Can you explain what that's about?
Yeah, absolutely. So the second type of contribution, or the second type of main contribution that clients can make, are non-concessional contributions. So generally, non-concessional contributions are personal contributions made to your superannuation from your after-tax income or other available capital you may have that you can contribute to superannuation. So this doesn't have to be just cash available in the bank account. It can be shares that you might be able to contribute into your superannuation fund. But currently, the non-concessional contribution cap is at $110,000, which is increasing to $120,000 from 1 July 2024.
So Jesse, just confirming there, this limit about $120,000, does that include that $30,000 concessional cap, or is this on top of that $30,000 concessional cap?
It is on top of the concessional contribution cap. So some of the main inclusions, what is included in that non-concessional cap, are personal contributions for which a tax deduction cannot be claimed. So that's the main difference from concessional to non-concessional. Some other inclusions in the non-concessional cap are spouse contributions. And if there are any excess concessional contributions not released from your superannuation fund, so that's anything that you've actually gone above and beyond. We touched on the carry forward contributions just before. So if you have completely maxed out all of your carry forward contributions, anything in excess of that amount does stay in the superannuation system and counts towards your non-concessional contribution cap.
people making non-concessionals, it may be that they have maxed out their concessional contributions and can't put any more in, as you mentioned, or they may not have a tax deduction to claim that against, but they want to move that money into super for various reasons. What kind of examples do you see people using non-concessional limits for?
There is a myriad of reasons that clients might be using non-concessional contributions. Some might be leveraging up for your eventual retirement, getting more of their capital or their excess funds that they might have outside of their, or they call what we like to call cash buffer, into a tax-effective investment vehicle, which is superannuation leading to their retirement. For example, such as an inheritance, maybe you've sold a property, maybe you've downsized. Now, that there's a separate sort of downsizer contribution that can be covered off in another podcast, but anything in excess of maxing out your downsizer contributions and further capital you wish to contribute into a more concessionally taxed environment.
Jesse, you mentioned that concessional contribution thing sort of carry forward, where you can go and use some of the last few years and kind of catch them up if you haven't used that. Is that the same with this non-concessional contribution? Can you go back and use prior years?
With non-concessional contributions, it's a little bit different. We can't necessarily go back and use anything we haven't used from previous years, but we can actually look to the future and borrow a few more years to get more into the super environment. This is called the bring forward rule. Essentially, although the non-concessional contribution cap is currently at $110,000, which is, like I said, increasing to $120,000, you can actually bring up to three more years into the future. So you can borrow effectively two more years, including this financial year. What this looks like is there may be an opportunity for you not to just contribute $120,000, but you could borrow two more additional years in the future and contribute up to $360,000 in one financial year.
So that's a fair whack of money, and not everyone's going to want to or need to do that, but at least that capacity is there to do so. Is that a limit per couple or is that per person?
Per person.
So as a couple now, combined with looking at maybe $720,000 into super, which again is a fairly large figure, that bring forward rule you touched on, let's say someone triggered that last year when the limit was 110. So therefore they put the whole $330,000 in and they were using the next few financial years, and now we know that's going up. Do they then now get to go and put more money in if they're already in that bring forward arrangement?
No. So if they have already triggered the bring forward period and they are currently in that, they cannot apply the indexation to the non-concessional contribution cap. So they will have to wait until they've fully exhausted the bring forward period until they can apply and trigger the bring forward rule again up to the higher amount.
Perfect. That makes sense. How many years can someone keep doing this for? Is there an age limit? Are there other things that people need to be wary of?
A super trustee can generally accept non-concessional contributions at any age prior to 75. However, there's a little window of opportunity there that you can actually get in any non-concessional contributions before 28 days after the end of the month in which the client turns 75.
So there's a fair bit of runway there. So if someone's 65 and they've retired, they've put some non-concessional money in, but they receive some more money down the track, there's potentially still some more years through up until the age of 75.
Similar to the concessional contribution carry forward rule, like we discussed, the total superannuation balance that an individual needs to hold to be eligible for that is $500,000. Now, if we contrast that to the bring forward periods, the total superannuation balance does need to come into effect in addition to your age for you to be eligible for the bring forward period.
Perfect, Jesse. Thanks for that. There's clearly some changes coming up that people need to be aware of. Most of that is good news. I think it's all of it's good news. Some extra money going to super, some more availability to keep topping up super. We'll be back after the break to discuss some more tax changes and other things people need to keep an eye on.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to retireright.com.au, click get help, and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted retirement advisors. Our trusted retirement advisors work with clients remotely all over Australia, so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's retireright.com.au and click get help to arrange a complimentary discussion to see how they can help.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
And we're back. Jesse, let's talk about one of the most exciting things in life, which is tax. Maybe not so much for some people, but it's something that we all have to pay. But ideally, we want to pay the right level of. It's been in the media a lot, so people probably cross it, but there are some tax changes happening on 1 July. Can you talk through about how that all looks?
Absolutely. So what's happening in the new financial year is called a Stage 3 tax cuts. These were part of the government's 7-year personal income tax plan that was announced back in the 2018-19 federal budget. So this has now passed Parliament and come into effect from 1 July 2024. As part of this amendment, there are some scheduled tax cuts and also some changes to personal income tax rates and income brackets for everyone. So although that there is changes on the horizon, like we discussed in superannuation, not a lot of people like change, but this does present some opportunities.
And for most people, I believe there's some tax cuts. There was obviously a lot of media discussion about at what level and who was getting the right balance, but most people, I understand, would be better off with this new tax changes.
Absolutely. So these tax changes will essentially reduce the amount of tax that's withheld for individuals. Now, this is going to result in some incremental tax savings throughout the year and increase in disposable income. So how much you save will be dependent on your taxable incomes and liabilities throughout the year.
So that extra cash flow might be great for two things, cost of living and enjoying life or whatever, or it may actually allude back to what we spoke about before, the ability now to put more money into superannuation. So people ideally might have some more money in their pocket from the first pay or whatever from July onwards, and everyone's situation will be different. But what should people consider with this potential extra cash flow they're going to receive?
This creates a really good discussion that we have with our clients today. So with the extra income that is coming in from the tax cuts, that should be looked in review with your personal circumstances or the client's personal circumstances. In particular, we've got extra cash coming in. We've got increases to contribution caps as well. So that presents a pretty good opportunity to increase your contributions leading to retirement.
Another planning thing for lots of clients is that they may be looking to sell some shares or sell a rental property at some point. With some of these changes, will people likely be worse off or better off with if they're going to sell those assets in the coming years?
People will definitely be better off as a result of these Stage 3 tax cuts. And this is where considering maybe delaying some of your financial assets that you might be considering selling, such as if you have shares, any managed funds, or maybe investment properties that has got some large capital gains tax implications on there.
A lot of people focus on the tax rate that they're in, but when they sell some of these assets, there's a lot of confusion out there that there's this special capital gains tax and a certain percentage that everybody pays, but that's not how that works. If someone sells a property and has a gain, how does that relate with their current employment income?
There is certainly some confusion around capital gains tax. There might be assumptions around it sits in a different bucket. However, it does all filter into the one marginal tax rate bucket. So you're paying tax on each dollar that you earn. And if you sell a financial asset, such as some shares or investment properties or maybe some managed funds, then that still falls into your marginal tax bracket. So
that's a question we often get asked a lot around, okay, if I'm selling, it's a rental property, does my tax come out now? The answer is no. It comes out when you do your personal tax return. And again, that thing is where it's important that this advice is based upon someone's situation, because if we've seen some examples with the clients that we work with that they at a lower income level, but in 1 year they might have a capital gain, what are some of the things that someone should consider if that's their situation?
Certainly. So how much they are actually earning each year is definitely consideration, because concessional contributions, it all sounds really good, but it's really personal. It really depends on the client's or the individual's circumstances and how much tax that they are actually paying. And there might be some circumstances where we are reviewing how much is going in concessionally, how much the client is putting in via salary sacrifice or personal deductible contributions, but it might be a fact that just from their income alone, that the concessional tax rate of concessional contributions of 15% might become burdensome for some clients. But this is where reviewing your personal situation with a professional, if you've got some capital gains tax from selling financial assets such as shares or property or anything like that, they might be adding to your assessable income, reviewing how much concessional contributions you should be making.
So what you're saying is that someone's income, if they're part-time, might be $40,000 or $50,000. We might say concessional contributions aren't a big priority for them. But let's say their super balance isn't as high as they'd like it to be. Maybe they're self-employed. Maybe they have time off work. And their super balance is only $300,000. By the sounds of it, they may be eligible for some carry-forward contributions. If while they're still working and they're in their early 60s, they're about to sell a rental property and they're going to have a $100,000 capital gain, that's going to push them up from their fairly low tax rate to a higher tax rate? And is that point that they may consider some concessional contributions, and how would that play out?
Absolutely. So on that income that you just quoted, probably not. I guess it depends on where the client is today and where they want to be. But after that event happens, if they do sell investment property or another financial asset with that $100,000 capital gain, then that's adding on to their marginal tax rate. So that might trigger a conversation around, okay, how much can we look back from the carry forward perspective, and then how much can we actually contribute concessionally before the tax starts to become a burden?
And that's because money going into super is taxed at 15%, as you mentioned. With these personal tax rate changes, if someone's income's in their high 80s or 90s, pushing up to the hundreds, their tax rate's going to be 30% or higher. So therefore, every dollar they put into super, there could be a 15 or 20% saving along that way, net of the tax inside of super. So definitely something to consider, and something I suppose we say all the time of that's where it's important to get some of that relevant tax advice, and your circumstances might change. Clearly today we're talking about the legislation rules might change.
Absolutely. So when people start to look or consider retiring and using part of their superannuation to fund their lifestyle and retirement, there are limits on the balance that can be transferred from a concessional environment to a zero tax environment, which is called pension phase. So that cap isn't related to any contributions or anything like that. It's just what effectively is in the superannuation system. This cap is called the transfer balance cap, and it's not changing along with the other changes that we have discussed in this podcast, but it did recently change from $1.7 to $1.9 million.
And that's not something that changes every year?
There is no change this year, but it depends on a few inflationary figures, but it might change in the next few years.
Yeah, perfect. And that's a conversation I remember we had with a client a few days ago, that the wife started a pension at a certain point in time and could only get so much into super because of this transfer balance cap, and the husband was still working. He'll actually be under a higher limit, which will be at an advantage of him, and therefore it's important to keep an eye on that, that stuff does change every few years. Once you're in pension phase, I believe there's a minimum amount you have to draw. Is that set for life as well?
No. So the pension levels that you need to take out does depend on your age, and it does start at 4% from the age of 60. As people do get older, that does increase at age.
So if someone's got a pension already set up and they might have set that up with a 5% minimum drawing, is that something that they need to keep an eye on, or if the industry fund they're with or the retail fund they're with, would that prompt them to make sure they're always covering that minimum?
Industry funds or retail super funds will automatically adjust the minimums as they get older. So that'll happen automatically by the super trustee. Now, if we contrast that to self-managed super funds, now that's a little bit of a different beast. So the member will have to ensure they are taking the minimum each financial year.
I believe there's another change coming in, not 1 July 2024, but 1 July 2025.
Absolutely. So there is more change on the horizon with superannuation. It's not going to happen as of next financial year, but it will come into effect from 1 July 2025. It's called the Division 296 tax, and it's just eliminating the concessional tax rates inside a superannuation environment.
Some people might know that more as this new $3 million tax. That's what you're referring to?
That's right.
And so that really only affects the people with that balance of $3 million plus, which isn't going to be everybody. That's a nice problem to have, but it will affect certain people. And so we won't solve all that today, but it's definitely something that we're working with some of our clients on that are affected by that, and we'll likely probably do a deep dive of that between now and the time of July next year, because the way that's going to affect people and some of those strategies are really important to be proactive with. Jesse, that's been great. We've covered a fair bit in this topic. What are the key things you want people to take away from this episode?
It's important to have a sound financial plan in place. Now, there are a few windows of opportunity that we have identified in this podcast that can be utilized this financial year and also next financial year. So, and discussing how all these changes relate to your financial situation, and it is quite evidenced that your retirement plan should not just be a set and forget approach.
I agree, and that's where the value of an advisor and working along or reviewing that yourself is really important. So I'm confident that a lot of people got a lot of value out of this episode and wary of the changes coming up or of those opportunities coming up. Share this with friends and family that you know will get some value from this episode. Jump into the Facebook group at Retire Right. Looking forward to having a chat with you in there. Thanks again, Jesse.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.